Welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour, as we continue our Halloween Feast for the Imagination. I'm Justine Ward, your host, and today we have two half-hour shows. The first is The Halloween Party with Eve Arden as our Miss Brooks. The English teacher you can always count on continues to find herself thwarted in her efforts to encourage romance with the shy, nerdy science teacher, Mr. Boynton. Enjoy this episode of Our Miss Brooks, first broadcast October 30th, 1949, on CBS.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. Time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, written by Al Lewis. Well, many of us find it extremely difficult to get up early every morning, but Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, has been doing it for years.
Yes, and I've learned one thing about early rising that's helped me immeasurably. Once I jump out of bed, close the window, and do my setting up exercises, there's only one more thing I want to do, and that's to get right back in bed again. Last Friday morning, though, I was up and almost dressed by the time my landlady knocked on the door.
Time to get up, Connie.
I am up, Mrs. Davis. Come on in. I'm trying to get to school early so I can chat with Mr. Boynton for a few minutes before our first class.
Is Mr. Boynton still as unapproachable as ever, Connie?
I guess so, Mrs. Davis. But you know something? During this past week, I've gotten closer to him than ever before.
Really, dear? How did you do that?
I've been wearing my sneakers to school. I hope I've got time for breakfast before Walter Denton comes to pick me up. There's something he wants to talk to me about before school starts.
Well, he can talk to you at breakfast, Connie. My goodness, you've got to keep your strength up some way. We both know you don't get enough sleep.
Well, I didn't last night. Minerva slept in here with me, and she was very restless.
I don't know what's the matter with that cat lately. Between you and me, Connie, I think she's got something.
Between you and me, I think she's got several.
Maybe it's a mistake to let her get so friendly with the collie next door. They play together all the time, you know.
Oh, so that's the source. Mm-hmm. Minerva had me up half the night with her pounding.
That's just her tail beating on the floor while she's hunting.
Well, I don't mind her tail thumping so much, but every time she catches something with one paw, she applauds with the other three.
Suppose we join Minerva in the breakfast nook. I've just given her some milk.
Fine, I'll have a saucer full, too.
Sit right down, dear. I'll boil you a couple of eggs.
Just one egg will be plenty, Mrs. Davis.
Well, I... Oh, Walter... That must be Walter Denton now.
Just six eggs will be plenty, Mrs. Davis. The door isn't locked. Come in, Walter.
Ah, hiya, Miss Brooks. Mrs. Davis.
Hello, Walter.
How do you want your eggs, Walter?
Quickly, please.
Ready for breakfast yet?
Oh, sure, but it's 7:30 almost, and we eat an awful early breakfast at my place.
How early?
6:45.
I don't know how you're still standing up.
I'll whip up an omelette for all of us.
Miss Brooks, I'd like to ask you about something.
What's that, Walter?
Well, as you know, Halloween is usually celebrated tomorrow night, Saturday. But Harriet Conklin's going up to her folks' bungalow at Crystal Lake for the weekend. So we wondered if it would be all right with you if we celebrated the holiday tonight.
Well, why come to me? Shouldn't you contact the Goblins Union?
We wanted to sort of have a little party. You know, Harriet, my pal Stretch Snodgrass, and I, and we were planning on inviting you, too.
Oh? Where were you planning on holding this party, Walter?
At your place.
How nice of you to invite me along. But I'm afraid we couldn't have any Halloween parties here, Walter. After all, I don't own this cottage. I just rent a room for Mrs. Davis.
Oh, we've already got her permission. She's going to the movies tonight. Harriet asked her on the phone yesterday. It's just up to you, Miss Brooks.
Well, I'm afraid I'm not interested in Halloween parties, Walter. I've got quite a bit of work to catch up on, and tonight looks like an ideal time to do it. Sorry, but you'll have to hold your party someplace else.
Gee, Miss Brooks, Harriet and Stretch will be awfully disappointed. So will Mr. Boynton.
Mr. Boynton?
Yeah. I was talking to him yesterday, and he was saying what swell fun he always thought Halloween was when he was a kid. And then we invited him to the party, too, and he accepted. And now there's no place to have the party.
What's wrong with having the party right here?
Hello, principal's office. Osgood Conklin himself speaking.
Hello, Osgood. It's me, Martha.
We've been married 18 years, woman. I know your name.
Do try not to be so testy. Do you realize that you left home this morning without even saying goodbye?
Well, that's easily remedied. Goodbye.
Wait, Osgood. I just called to remind you about your doctor's appointment this morning. He said he wanted to see you before we go to Crystal Lake tomorrow.
I am well aware of that fact. I've had plenty of time to think about it during the sleepless hours I spent listening to your dog thumping his tail at the foot of our bed all night.
But Prince was so lonesome, dear. After all, we've got each other. He's all alone.
Well, he wasn't alone last night. I never heard such scratching in all my born days. What's he got, anyway?
Well, he can't possibly have anything, dear. You know he doesn't play with other dogs. In fact, he would have died of loneliness last week if I hadn't taken him over to Mrs. Davis's to play with her cat, Minerva.
Well, you've got to keep him away from me. My blood pressure is higher than it's been in years. To make my morning complete, when I bent down to tie my shoelaces, my glasses fell off.
Did they break?
Not until I straightened up and stepped on them.
Well, darling, in a couple of days in Crystal Lake, that will make a new man of you. Now go down to the doctor's and get a nice sedative to take with you.
Very well, Martha. It's a good thing I have an extra pair of glasses with me, or I couldn't find my way to the door.
Now, whatever you do, Osgood, don't break those.
Thank you, my dear. I think that's sterling advice. Goodbye. It's later than I thought. I'd better hurry.
So you see, Walt, if we all meet in the cafeteria at lunchtime, we can make the plans for... Oh,
good. Miss Brooks, I presume.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Mr. Conklin. I didn't see you coming. Oh, dear, I seem to have broken your glasses. Do you have another pair?
No, Miss Brooks, I haven't. But perhaps I could get you a long stick and let you smash the windows in my office!
You seem to be in quite a hurry, Mr. Conklin. Could I maybe take you somewhere?
Who is speaking?
It's me, Walter Denton. Your daughter Harriet's dreamboat.
My daughter, Harriet, you... I'll talk to you later, Miss Brooks. Denton, pick up that shattered glass.
Yes, sir. Oh, what should I do with it, Mr. Conklin?
Eat it, you lame brain gun!
Gosh, Mr. Conklin's sure in a bad mood today. He looks pretty purple, doesn't he?
Even for him. He certainly is excitable.
Hi, Walter. Oh, hello, Miss Brooks.
Hi.
Hello, Harriet.
Did you run into Daddy yet this morning?
It's in the hands of the insurance company now.
His temper's pretty miserable today.
Yes, I know. Poor Daddy. He's been depressed all week long. I don't know what it is. We all try to please him.
What he needs is some recreation and diversion. Say, I have an idea.
What is it, Miss Brooks?
Well, instead of my place tonight, why don't we have our Halloween party at your house, Harriet? That way we could surprise your father and cheer him up a little bit.
Wonderful.
Miss Brooks, you've done it again.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, will continue in just a moment. But first, here is Vern Smith. Now, proof that brushing teeth right after eating with Colgate Dental Cream helps stop tooth decay before it starts. Continuous research, hundreds of case histories, makes this the most conclusive proof in all dentifrice research on tooth decay. Eminent dental authorities supervised hundreds of college men and women for over 2 years. One group always brushed their teeth with Colgate right after eating. The other followed their usual dental care. The group using Colgate dental cream as directed, using Colgate's exclusively, showed a startling reduction in average number of cavities, far less tooth decay. The other group developed new cavities at a much higher rate. No other dentifrice offers proof of these results. Modern research indicates decay is caused by mouth acids, which are at their worst after meals or snacks. Brushing teeth with Colgate as directed helps remove acids before they harm enamel. Yes, Colgate contains all the necessary ingredients, including an exclusive patented ingredient for effective daily dental care. So remember, always use Colgate dental cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay.
Anxious as I was to get back into Mr. Conklin's good graces, I determined to make the Halloween party Friday night a roaring success. I had asked the kids to meet me in the school cafeteria at lunchtime, and the first one to show up was Madison's star athlete, Stretch Snodgrass. Although a whiz on the football field, Stretch's outstanding scholastic achievement occurred during a test last week when he spelled his name correctly. I was having a cup of coffee when he approached my table.
Here I am, Miss Brooks. Mind if I sit down?
Not at all, Stretch, but wouldn't you like to bring some food over before we discuss the party?
Oh, no, ma'am. I already ate.
Please, Stretch. I've already eaten.
Oh, good. Then we can get right down to business. Walter said he thought we all ought to masquerade as something tonight.
That's a fine idea, Stretch. You could come as a student.
I got my outfit all set, Miss Brooks. I got some chaps home and spurs and two six-shooters to shoot real blanks. I'm coming as Hopalong Cassidy. That is, if nobody minds.
Why should anybody mind, unless Roy Rogers shows up?
What are you going to masquerade as, Miss Brooks?
Oh, I haven't made up my mind yet, Stretch. Of course, every good Halloween party should have a witch. Yes, I might come as a witch.
Perfect.
Don't sound so enthusiastic. Pretty short notice to get a costume made, and I may not...
Why go to all that trouble? Why don't you just wear what you got on?
Big as he is, I'll have to slug him. Now, look, Stretch.
Hi, Miss Brooks, Stretch. Well, things are sure shaping up. Look at these 12 noisemakers I bought this morning.
When did you find time to get all this junk, Walter?
I sneaked out of one of my morning classes.
Walter, you didn't.
Well, it was important, Miss Brooks. Besides, there's no harm done. Nobody even noticed I was gone.
That's what I like, a nice observant teacher.
Oh, it wasn't the teacher's fault. You were facing the blackboard at the time. Hey, look at this horn. It's got a siren in the mouthpiece. Listen.
Please, Walter, you're in the cafeteria.
So what?
One more blast like that, the beef stew will pull over to the right. Now tell me, how are you going to the masquerade?
I got a terrific idea, Miss Brooks. I'm just going to put on an old sheet. Do you think Mr. Conklin will get a kick out of me as a ghost?
If he thought it was on the level, it would add 10 years to his life.
What are you coming at, Miss Brooks?
Oh, I haven't quite decided yet. Any suggestions?
Well, just one. I don't want you to think I'm being fresh or anything, but, well, this is going to be a Halloween party, and, well, I'd be glad to furnish you with a broom.
I guess I'm a natural for it.
Look who's coming over.
Oh, it's Mr. Boynton. Hello, Mr. Boynton.
Hello, Walter.
Hello, Mr. Boynton.
Hello, Stretch. Hello, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Mr. Boynton. Goodbye, Walter. Goodbye, Stretch.
We ain't going nowhere.
Stretch. Don't you know the old expression, two's company, three's a crowd?
Sure I do. But there's four of us.
We gotta help Harriet figure out a costume for tonight. See you later, folks.
Yeah, see you later, folks.
Oh, so long, boys. Well, Miss Brooks, I think it's a splendid idea. You're giving this little surprise party for our principal tonight. It should do him a world of good.
It should do us a world of good, too, if he brightens up a bit. What kind of an outfit do you think you'll wear, Mr. Boynton?
Well, I've got a skeleton costume home that I used to have quite a bit of fun with in my college days. It's just a black, tight-fitting garment with a bunch of bones hanging on it.
Bones?
Yes, they're treated with a phosphorescent paint that makes them glow in the dark. It's quite a startling effect, the more so since I gathered the bones when I was an anatomy student.
From anyone I know?
I don't mean to dwell on it, Miss Brooks, but I find bones a rather fascinating subject, don't you?
That depends on what they're wrapped up in.
Yes. How are you masquerading tonight?
Oh, I don't know. If you're coming as a skeleton, maybe I'll come as a bottle of vitamins. I'm really a little stumped, Mr. Boynton. What do you think I should be?
Well, the two most popular figures associated with Halloween are a black cat and a witch.
And I'm much too tall for a cat. Walter! Oh, Walter! Get a lube job on that broom, boy. Constance Brooks rides tonight.
I'm glad we're going away in the morning, Martha. Dr. Benson told me I'm very close to the breaking point.
Yes. Of course, I'll...
Don't shout so. He said that some of my trouble was caused by my blood pressure, but that part of it was due to an overactive imagination. He wants me to be calm, relax more. I'd like to see him relax with that recurring dream I've had.
You mean the one where the ghost visits you at night?
Yes. Only the last couple of times it's gotten worse. Instead of a plain ghost, I've been getting one with Walter Denton's head on it.
Really, Osgood, I just don't know what you've got against that poor boy. Harriet's very fond of him.
Then she should see a doctor, too. Where is she, Martha?
Well, she's in her room, dear, getting dressed. She said something about a party tonight.
Parties? All kids nowadays think about. Well, there won't be any parties at Crystal Lake. There won't be any nightmares either. Why, Martha, do you realize that while I was sitting in the doctor's office today, I saw a bulldog by his desk?
A bulldog?
It was the shadow of his umbrella stand. But I almost jumped out of my skin before he explained it.
Things like that happen to people every day, Osgood.
Not to me, they don't. At least they'd better not. How do you think the Board of Education would like it if they thought one of their principals went round seeing bulldogs?
Just don't mention it to anyone, darling. Now I'm going to get you a glass of warm milk, and you stay right comfy in your chair till I get back.
You're very well. Yes. That thing looked like a bulldog. Martha's right, though. I'd better not mention it to her soul. Now, who in the world can that be? Coming!
Good evening, Mr. Conklin. May I come in?
There's no tactful way I can refuse you admission. Come in, Miss Brooks.
Have the others arrived yet?
Others? What others?
You'll see when they get here. Is Harriet at home?
Yes. She's putting on her party dress.
Oh, then you know about it. It should do you a lot of good, Mr. Conklin. There's nothing like a house full of people to get your mind off yourself.
A house full of... Miss Brooks, is this party to be given in this house?
Of course.
I see. And if you'll excuse me, I'll just take my hat and coat and beat an orderly retreat.
But, Mr. Conklin...
My doctor has forbidden any excitement whatsoever.
Your doctor? This is a fine time to tell me. I mean, I didn't know you were in such bad shape, Mr. Conklin.
I am on the verge of a nervous collapse, Miss Brooks. But I don't want to spoil everybody's fun. I'll just leave quietly.
Leave? But, Mr. Conklin, where'll you go?
What's the difference where I go? I'll just wander around the park like a homeless gypsy.
You can't do that. You wouldn't look good in earrings. I mean, you're not a well man, Mr. Conklin. Look, Mrs. Davis is going to the movies tonight. Now, why don't you let me drive you over to our place until I can eliminate the horde of guests who are coming here? You'll love it over there, Mr. Conklin. You'll be able to relax completely.
If it will stave off my breakdown, Miss Brooks, it's the least I can do for my family.
Miss Brooks.
Brooks left right after dinner, Mr. Boynton. I guess she forgot to buy a few items for the party tonight. I'm sure she'll be right back.
Fine.
Well, this way our surprise will work out even better.
Surprise?
Yes, ma'am. We thought we'd try out some of our Halloween tricks on Miss Brooks before we go over to Mr. Conklin's house.
That's a wonderful idea.
I hope I didn't scare you in my ghost outfit.
No, I thought you were the laundry man.
How do you like my costume, Mrs. Davis?
Nice. You've lost weight, haven't you?
This is a skeleton suit in honor of Halloween.
Isn't that terrifying? And who's this cowboy with you?
I'm Hopalong Cassidy, Mrs. Davis, but I'm really Stretch Snodgrass.
I'd never have known. Well, if you'll all go into the house, I'm sure Miss Brooks will be delighted to see you. I've got to get down to the theater now.
Oh, what movie are you seeing tonight, Mrs. Davis?
Jolson Sings Again, Again.
Again, again?
I saw it last week also. Have a nice time, children.
What should I do with this bucket of water we're ducking for apples in, Waller?
Oh, just put it down by the piano, Stretch. Now, I'll tell you what we'll do. Before Miss Brooks comes back, let's all hide somewhere so we can really surprise her.
Good idea, Waller. Now, why don't you get behind that couch? Stretch, you hide behind the kitchen door, and I'll get into the hall closet.
Great. Then we'll all come out when I blow this whistle. Okay?
Gotcha, Waller. Hey, look, out the window. Miss Brooks is coming up the walk, and she's got Mr. Conklin with her.
Mr. Conklin? Oh, she probably wanted to get him out of the way while we were getting things ready at his place.
So much the better. We'll surprise both of them at the same time. Now, first I'll put the lights out. Quick, let's get out of sight.
Well, here we are, Mr. Conklin. I guess Mrs. Davis has left for the movies. The lights are all out.
But it does seem quite deserted in here.
I'll turn on this hall light so you can see to hang your things up in the closet. I'll turn some lights on in the living room while you put your hat and coat away.
Thank you, Miss Brooks.
What? Miss Brooks! Miss Brooks!
What is it, Mr. Conklin? What's the trouble?
Your closet in the hall. What do you keep in there?
My coat, Mr. Conklin.
I see. I see. Tell me, Miss Brooks, is it a long black coat with luminous bones?
Luminous bones? Oh, no. Oh, please wait right here, Mr. Conklin. I'll investigate.
Oh, it's me, Miss Brooks. You should have seen Mr. Conklin's face when...
Get behind those other coats immediately, Mr. Boynton.
But, Miss Brooks...
I can't explain now, but don't you dare come out of there until you get a signal.
Well, Miss Brooks, what did you see?
See? Mm-hmm. I didn't see anything, Mr. Conklin. It must have been your imagination.
My imagination? Then the doctor was right.
That, Mr. Conklin?
I'd rather not talk about it, Miss Brooks. If I could just lie down somewhere.
Oh, of course, Mr. Conklin. Just stretch out on this couch. I'll go get another cushion for you.
All right. That's better. I must be quite a sick man. If I weren't sick, I wouldn't be moaning like this. On the other hand, it's better than trying... What am I saying? I'm not the one who's moaning.
I've returned. I've come back.
Who's there? Where are you?
Look behind you. Behind the cow.
Behind the tree.
Mr. Conklin, are you all right? What happened?
Miss Brooks, how long have I been asleep?
Asleep?
Yes.
you just hit the couch, Mr. Conklin. Which reminds me, maybe you'd better see a good psychiatrist. This screaming of yours can lead to something dangerous.
Just do me a favor, Miss Brooks. Look behind that couch.
Certainly, sir, if it'll make you feel any better. But I assure you, there's absolutely nothing behind this towel. I'm sorry if I startled you, Mr. Conklin, but my cat Minerva's back here.
With a sheet?
She was making her bed. Stay out of sight, Minerva. There's a good gurga boy. A girl.
If you don't mind, Miss Brooks, I'd like to take a couple of pills my doctor prescribed. May I have some water, please?
Certainly, sir. If you've got an extra pill or two, I'll be happy to join you. Just sit right here, Miss Conklin. I'll go into the kitchen and get some water. No, on second thought, you'd better come with me. I don't want you to get nervous again.
Yes, I think you're right, Miss Brooks. It doesn't do for me to be alone lately.
Now, where is that light switch?
Well, dog might catch if it ain't roundup time.
What was that? Tell me I've actually taken leave of my senses?
Oh, it isn't a real leave, Mr. Conklin. You're just on a weekend pass. Oh, lots of people get temporary hallucinations. Maybe we'd better go back to your house.
Yes, yes, at a time like this, I suppose I should be near my loved one.
Happy Halloween, Mr. Conklin. Look, it's me.
Zinner, when did you... How did you...
What's this?
It's just my coat coming over. Get back to the closet.
It's me, Mr. Conklin. I'm a skeleton, see?
Look at me, Mr. Conklin. I'm Hopalong Cassidy, and I'll plug the first hombre that makes a move.
Snodgrass.
Oh, stop that!
Oh, I must control myself.
What's wrong, Mr. Conklin? You don't seem to be enjoying yourself.
Yeah, you act all jumpy and funny. Gosh, Miss Brooks went to a lot of trouble to get this thing organized.
Walter, please.
Oh, Miss Brooks organized it, did she?
Sure, she planned the whole thing.
She deserves every bit of credit.
Well, she's certainly going to get it. Miss Brooks, I want you... Miss Brooks, get your head out of that bucket. This is no time to be ducking for apples.
Who's ducking for apples? I'm trying to drown myself.
As our Miss Brooks returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight?
Yes,
tonight. Show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a luster cream shampoo. Luster cream, world's finest shampoo. No other shampoo in the world gives Kay Dumas' magic blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Not a soap, not a liquid. Luster Cream Shampoo leaves hair three ways lovelier. Fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen, soft, manageable. Even in hardest water, Luster Cream lathers instantly. No special rinse needed after a Luster Cream Shampoo. So gentle, Luster Cream is wonderful even for children's hair. Tonight, yes, tonight, try Luster Cream Shampoo.
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl, you owe your crowning glory to a luster cream shampoo.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, Mr. Conklin was so glad to find out that the things he thought had been happening to him had been happening to him, that he excused us all and hurried home. Shortly afterwards, I excused Walter and Stretch, which left just Mr. Boynton, the parlor sofa, and me.
Well, here we are, Miss Brooks. You know, with that lamplight shining on your hair, you're absolutely, well...
Yes, Mr. Boynton.
Yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo, folks!
What's that?
Look, at the window. It's Mrs. Davis with a pumpkin head.
Just what I needed.
Happy Halloween, Polly. Trick or treat.
I've got a trick, Mrs. Davis. Here's 60 cents. Treat yourself to Jolson Sings Again, Again, Again.
Next week, tune into another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair, and Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch.
Men, here is actual, factual proof of more comfortable, actually smoother shaves while using Palmolive Lather Shaving Cream. 1,251 men tried the Palmolive Lather way to shave, described on the tube. And no matter how they had shaved before, 3 out of 4 got more comfortable, actually smoother shaves. Try Palmolive Lather Shaving Cream. See if you don't get more comfortable, actually smoother shaves the Palmolive Lather Shaving Cream way.
Be sure to listen to Mr. and Mrs. North Tuesday evening over most of these same stations. And be with us again next week at the same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamont speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And now we are going to turn from comedy to the macabre with an episode of Inner Sanctum called The Man Who Couldn't Die. This mystery series was nicknamed The Creaking Door for its opening sound effect. The banter between the mysterious host and Lipton Tea spokeswoman Mary lightens the mood between acts. This is Inner Sanctum, The Man Who Couldn't Die, first broadcast February 12, 1946 on CBS.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good evening, friends. This is your host of the Inner Sanctum, inviting you in through the creaking door. Come on in and enter into the spirit of things. don't pay any attention to those gurgling sounds you hear. They're the unfortunate ones, the midnight spirits who are caught haunting before midnight. Poor things. All they can do now is gurgle, because they've evaporated into distilled spirits.
What a horrifying thought, Mr. Host. Can't we ever talk about the brighter side of life?
Well, don't forget, Mary, murder is my business.
Well, thank goodness it isn't mine. And right now, I'd much prefer to talk with our Lipton listeners about something more conducive to happy spirits. I mean, a cup of hearty, piping hot Lipton tea. You know, it's really wonderful, the extra delight you get from this superb tea, friends. And the reason is simply this, Lipton's grand brisk flavor. Brisk, you know, is the tea expert's own word for the fresh, full-bodied, lively flavor of Lipton tea. Because unlike ordinary teas, Lipton's is never flat-tasting or lifeless. Lipton tea is always spirited, full-flavored, truly satisfying. Why, I'd even go so far as to say that once you've tried it, I think you'll enjoy Lipton tea more than any other tea you've ever tasted.
And I'll go even further, Mary, and introduce our listeners to tonight's story. It's an original radio play written especially for Inner Sanctum by Emil Tepperman, and starring Richard Widmark in the role of Alex Gregory. It's about a man who became master of a secret so fearful that it could never be revealed to any mortal, living or dead. But let him tell you the story himself, how he learned the most terrible secret in all the universe, and what he did with it.
It was an evening in September, the 15th to be exact. when I first learned of the existence of Elixir Number 4. It happened at Professor Jarman's house just off the college campus. You've heard of Jarman, of course. He was to chemistry what Einstein is to physics. But it was his daughter, Elaine, that I was interested in that evening in September when I rang their bell.
Oh, hello, Alex. Oh, gosh, is it that late? I'm not even dressed.
Hi, sweet. Snap it up, will you? The last show starts at 8:30.
Well, it won't take me long. Wait for me in the library. I'll be ready in a jiffy.
I knew my way around the house. I went into the library, and the first thing I noticed was that the door to Professor Jarman's private study was ajar. It had never happened before. The private study and the laboratory beyond were forbidden territory in the Jarman home. Not even Elaine was allowed in there. And now the door was open. I'd heard stories of Jarman's experiments with new and secret formulae. So here was a chance. A possible chance to find out what the old codger was working on. I couldn't resist. I pushed open the door and I stepped into the private study. I could hear Jarman in the lab talking to himself. Elaine had told me once that he always talked to himself in the lab. I stood quietly in the study. But I couldn't make out what he was saying in there. I looked around. The study was just a small cubbyhole with a chair, a bookcase, and a desk. And on the desk, I saw the open diary. A single sentence was written on the open page. I stepped closer. And then, I got the first shock. For that sentence was written in Latin. My Latin was rusty, but I was able to decipher the words, Vitae secretum in elixir quartum propetus habeo. In elixir number 4, I have the secret of propetus life. Propetus. That was the one word I couldn't seem to place. In elixir number 4, I have the secret of something. Life. I was puzzling over that word, propetus, when suddenly the laboratory door was flung open.
What are you doing at my desk?
Oh, hello, Professor Jarman.
I asked you, what are you doing at my desk?
Well, the study door was open. I thought I'd see if you were in here.
You were reading my diary.
Oh, no, Professor.
You saw the entry in my diary.
Well, really, Professor, I assure you.
You read Latin.
Latin? Well, I don't understand.
You're sure you don't understand that?
No, I don't.
Here I am, Alex. Ready? Well, is anything wrong?
Elaine, I've told you time and again, no one is to be admitted to my study.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. You must have left the door open. Oh, Alex, you shouldn't
I'm terribly
come...
sorry, Elaine. I found the door open and I thought Professor Jarman was in here. I just wanted to say hello.
All right. No harm done as long as you can't read Latin. Now get along, you two. I'm busy, but keep out of my study hereafter.
I took Elaine to the movies, but I haven't the faintest recollection of what the picture was about. Through my mind kept running that Latin sentence. Vitae secretum in elixir quartum perpetus habeo. When I said goodnight to Elaine at her door after the show, I hurried home to my room and I got out an old Latin dictionary. I looked up the word perpetus. And then I got a strange, cold feeling down my spine. For the word perpetus meant perpetual. The Latin sentence which Jarman had written in his diary meant, in elixir number 4... I have the secret of perpetual life. Professor Jarman had discovered the secret of immortality. All the next day, I conducted my chemistry classes purely by instinct. I couldn't take my thoughts from elixir number 4. Every voice in the classroom seemed to sing the same refrain.
Accomplished by adding to a dilute solution of H2SO4... A quantity
immortality. Never to know the fear of death. To live on serenely. To watch the world change through the centuries. Never to die. It grew on me like a festering tumor, this terrific dream of immortality. Everlasting life. I had to have elixir number 4. In the afternoon, the first free period I had, I went down the hall to Jarman's office.
Come in.
May I come in for a moment, Professor?
Oh, it's you. Yes, come in. I haven't much time.
Professor, I want to apologize for last night.
Let's forget about it. No harm done.
Well, whatever it was you had written in your diary, it must have been pretty important.
Oh, no, not at all. Only some chemistry notes. Nothing of any importance. Just something I've been experimenting
with. Well, I'd be very glad to assist you, Professor. Anything I could do,
That's very kind of you, young man, but I don't need any assistance, thank you. As a matter of fact, the experiment is completed.
You mean you're all finished?
All but the practical application.
Oh. Well, couldn't I help you on that?
It won't be necessary. Tonight, I'm taking the last step.
Tonight? I knew what that meant. Tonight, he was going to use elixir number 4. He was going to administer it to himself. I had to act tonight or never. Jarman's keys were on his desk. I distracted his attention and I managed to pick them up without his noticing. Then I hurried across town to a locksmith and had him make duplicates of Jarman's house key, his study key, and his laboratory key. Then I returned to the college and I managed to replace the keys on Jarman's desk while he was out. Now, I was ready for an adventure into immortality. At 8:30 that evening, I let myself into Charman's house, opened the study door, and stepped quietly over to the laboratory. I knew Elaine was at a sorority meeting. The professor and I were the only ones in the house. Charman was standing at the lab table with his back to me, talking away to himself. There was a small vial on the table and a hypodermic syringe alongside it.
The quantity administered yesterday will be sufficient. At my age, since my blood is too thin, I require the additional dose. But a younger man would need only one injection to cause the necessary type change in his blood. Who's that?
Good evening, Professor Charman. I hope I'm not interrupting.
What are you doing here? How did you get in?
So elixir number 4 changes the bloodstream, hmm?
What do you want in here?
Quit stalling, Professor. I know what elixir number 4 is.
Ah.
So this is it. Elixir number 4.
Be careful. Don't spill it.
How much of this stuff have you got?
That's all there is. 5 cc's.
You mean you haven't got any more?
It took me 5 years to distill 10 cc's. Before that, I experimented for 10 years. I failed 3 times.
And this is your 4th try, huh? Elixir number 4. And there isn't any more of it?
It'll take me 5 years more to make up another vat. Please be careful. Don't drop it.
Don't worry, I won't. You said this is enough to make the average man immortal. Me, for instance?
It's not for you. You hear me? Not for you.
Oh, yes, it is, Professor. It's for me.
I won't let you... What are you doing with that mallet?
What do you think?
No.
I'm so sorry, Professor.
Wait, I'll let you have it. Don't kill me.
I've got to kill you. When I take this dose of elixir number 4, I'll be immortal. And I don't want anyone to know it.
Go away, you fool! You'll never enjoy your immortality. You'll wish you were dead 1,000 times. I'll come back to remind you. Back to remind you.
I didn't hit him hard enough to kill him. That wasn't part of my plan. But when he lay unconscious on the floor, I searched among the chemicals until I found what I wanted. I mixed some chemicals in a test tube, and I watched the fumes forming. Then I held the test tube against Jarman's mouth, forcing the deadly gas into his lungs. When I was sure he was dead, I wiped the tube clean of my fingerprints and put it back in the rack. Then I picked up the vial of elixir number 4, the hypodermic syringe, and I hurried away, locking all the doors behind me. As soon as I got home, I filled the hypo with elixir number 4. And I gave myself the injection. Almost immediately, I felt a strange radiance pervading my body. A new strength was flowing in my blood. I was immortal. I couldn't die. I would go on living and living and living forever.
What's going on here? What's all this about living forever? If you ask me, it would be more of a curse than a blessing. Now, just suppose we all took a shot of this elixir number 4. I think of all the people who'd lose their jobs. Grave diggers and stone cutters and shroud makers and hearse drivers and... Oh, why go on? You see what I mean. Why, everybody'd be out of a job. We'd all practically starve to death.
Well, then, Mr. Host, maybe we can be glad that nobody has ever found the fountain of youth. You know, I think it's not a matter of trying to live forever. The important thing is to get more enjoyment out of every day.
Mm-hmm. For instance, Mary?
Well, for instance, one splendid way to get more enjoyment out of an otherwise dull day is to invite your friends in for tea. It's a delightful neighborly custom, made even more delightful when the tea you serve is Lipton's, because there's so much extra pleasure in Lipton tea. The party will seem more of a party. The conversation will be more sparkling, and your reputation as a thoughtful hostess will soar to the skies the moment your guests take their first sip of Lipton tea. For Lipton's wonderful, brisk flavor makes it a favorite with everybody. So when friends drop in for tea, or the family gathers around the dinner table, serve them Lipton's. Tea at its delicious best.
And now let's get back to our story. We're all anxious to see what this fellow Alex does with his secret of perpetual life. Just imagine, a man with all that time on his hands. Time to kill. And kill. And kill.
Immortality. I had it in my blood. I could feel it pulsing in my veins. The vitality, the power. I had to establish an alibi. Not that I expected to need an alibi. Jarman's death would surely look like an accident or suicide when his body was found in the laboratory in the morning. But I wasn't taking any chances on a murder charge. I had so much more to lose now. Wouldn't it be ironic if they were to execute me for murder? Me, an immortal. Next morning, I stopped at Jarman's house and rang the bell. I knew Elaine must have gone right to bed when she returned from the sorority meeting last night, because she never disturbed her father when he was in the lab. But now, when she discovered that he hadn't been to bed all night, she'd want to investigate. And I wanted to be there when the body was found.
Oh, good morning, Alex.
Hello, sweet. What's wrong? You look worried.
Come on in. Alex, I am worried. Dad's still in the lab. He didn't go to bed last night.
Well, what of it? He must be working on something big.
No, I'm afraid something's happened. I knocked at the door just now and there was no answer.
The door was locked?
Yes, but I have a pass key. I wonder if I ought to use it.
Well, of course you should.
Well, please, Alex, you come with me.
Of course, darling. Together we opened the laboratory door. I was all set to act horrified when we discovered the body on the floor. But there was no need to act. I was horrified. The lab was empty. There was nothing on the floor. The body of Professor Jarman was gone. I don't know for how many hours after that I walked the street, confused and frightened and uncomprehending. I tried to reason it out, how Jarman's body had walked out of that lab. There was only one solution. Jarman had already taken one dose of elixir number 4. It must have counteracted the poison that I'd forced into him. He must have gotten up and then walked away. But where? And why? I recalled what he'd said before I hit him with the mallet. Yes, I could hear his voice faintly strumming at my brain.
You'll never enjoy your immortality. You'll wish you were dead 1,000 times. I'll come back to remind you.
The next day, I went to Elaine's house, and I saw that she was taking her father's disappearance pretty hard.
Oh, Alex, I don't know what to make of it. Do you think that he's...
Now, take it easy, baby. Maybe he's just suffering from amnesia. Maybe he just walked out of the house. He might turn up tomorrow.
I have a terrible feeling, Alex, that he's dead.
What makes you think so?
Oh, I don't know.
Now, please, Elaine, that won't do you any good.
Oh, but it's the uncertainty. If I only knew for sure. Alex.
Hmm?
Do you believe in mediums?
Communicating with the dead?
Do you believe a medium can put you in touch with the dead?
Oh, is that what you're thinking of, darling? Going to a medium?
But don't you see, Alex, if Dad is dead, maybe...
I was worried, too. I had to know if Jarman was dead or alive. I had to know before I could start enjoying life. Yes, that might be a good idea, Elaine. Can't hurt to try. There's a medium in town.
Oh, I don't know what I want to do. Let me think about it.
Well, sure, darling. In the days that followed, I began to doubt whether I really was immortal. Was elixir number 4 really the elixir of life? Was I really going to live forever? If there was only some way to prove it. Then I remembered what Jarman had said, that the elixir caused a change of blood type. Well, that'd be easy enough to check. Elaine was taking a medical course, so I asked her to test my blood on the pretext that I thought I had anemia.
It won't hurt, Alex. Just... the needle?
Ouch.
There, now I've got all the blood I need. Just sit here a minute while I make the test.
Well, does it take long?
Mm-mm, only a minute. Alex.
She was excited. There was something different about my blood.
Alex, come here quick.
What?
Look. Oh, look, Alex. I can't be mistaken. Your blood... it's a new type.
Elaine couldn't get over the discovery that my blood was a new type. I'd asked her not to tell anyone about my new blood type, but I knew she wouldn't be able to keep the secret for long. And once it got out, people might begin to suspect what I already knew for sure, that I was immortal. Oh, I couldn't afford to have that known, because then everybody in the world would be envious of me. They'd hate me, too. Because they'd know I could go on living long after they were dead. Oh, no. No, it had to be a secret forever. No one in the whole world must know. Except myself. And the only person who could spill the secret now was Elaine. So, there was only one thing to do. Elaine furnished the opportunity herself the next day.
Alex, I've been thinking about that medium. I've got to know if Dad is alive or dead.
All right, whatever you say, darling, if it'll make you feel any better. I'll go with you, of course. Just the two of us, huh? We made a date to go to the seance that evening. And I made my plans accordingly. I didn't intend that Elaine should leave the seance... alive. We arrived at the medium's house promptly at 9:00. The medium asked Elaine and me to sit close to each other. And then she put out the lights.
Alex.
It's all right, sweet. I'm right here. I'm right next to you.
I'm frightened.
No, there's nothing to be frightened about, darling. I'm right here with you.
But it's so dark. I can't see anything. I don't hear anything. Where's the medium?
She's still here. She's right across the table. She's gone into a trance.
Do you think she'll contact Dad Spirit?
I don't know, darling. Wait and see. I timed myself carefully, waiting for the moment when the medium should be well into her trance. Then I took out of my pocket the hypodermic syringe. I held the plunger in my left hand while I gripped Elaine's arm with my right, my thumb over the artery.
Alex, my arm, your fingers hurt.
It's all right, sweet. Slowly, I brought the hypodermic needle up close to the artery. One bite of the needle, a single plunge of the plunger, and death would come almost instantaneously. And no one in the world could say that it hadn't been heart failure. But suddenly, just as I had the plunger ready, I heard something strange. A sound. In the room where there should have been no sound.
You'll never enjoy your immortality. You'll wish you were dead 1,000 times. I'll come back to remind you. Back to remind you. Back
the voice
to
of the
remind
dead.
You. Back to remind you. Back
Charmin,
to
where are you? Back to remind Charmin, stop. You're back dead. You're dead, back Charmin. You can't be back talking. You're dead.
Back to remind
I saw
back
your remind dead body. I killed you myself.
Back to remind
Suddenly, the lights flashed up. The room was full of police.
Arrest him, officer. He killed my father. You heard his confession.
That voice.
That was Dad's voice, Alex. A recording.
What? A recording?
That's why he always talked to himself in the lab. He had a wire recording machine. He talked while he carried on his experiments so that there'd be a permanent record. The wire recorder picked up everything that was said in the lab the night you killed him. But we could never have proved it was your voice in court if you hadn't confessed just now.
Yes, but the body.
I found Dad dead that night when I got back from the meeting. And I hid the body until I could find his murderer. And now, Alex, I found him.
All through the trial, Elaine sat and watched me. All the time the jury was out, she sat and watched me. And she watched me while they read the verdict of guilty. Her eyes never left me when I stood up to be sentenced and heard the judge say,
Alex Gregory, it is the judgment of this court that you be confined to the penitentiary for the rest of your natural life.
Me of all people. Me sentenced to imprisonment for life. Me in whose veins runs the precious elixir number 4. Imprisonment for the rest of my natural life, which means forever.
I feel kind of sorry for Alex. He really got a tough break. Locked up in a cell for all eternity and no way out. Yes, looks like they'll have to build a new jail around him every 1,000 years or so. Of course, there's one way out for him. He could let his beard grow for a couple of centuries, and when it gets long enough, he could hang himself.
Oh, imagine such a thing, Mr. Host.
Yes, it would be sort of breathtaking, wouldn't it, Mary? Poor Alex. He probably had many good impulses in his lifetime. As the trouble is, he didn't follow them.
Well, Mr. Host, I'm afraid that's something we all do every now and then. For instance, perhaps some of you Inner Sanctum fans have promised yourselves the pleasure of trying Lipton tea, but somehow just haven't gotten around to it. Or maybe you've just forgotten it when you're writing out your grocery list. Well, this time, make sure. Add Lipton tea to your grocery list right now. For until you do try it, you're missing a real treat. Why not start enjoying lively, full-bodied Lipton tea beginning tomorrow?
And now, friends, before I say goodnight, here's a pleasant bit of philosophy. Biologists tell us that all life starts in a little cell. And for convicted murderers, it ends there, too. Oh, by the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is Death in the Limelight by A.E. Martin. And next week's Inner Sanctum story, brought to you by the makers of Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup, and directed by Hyman Brown, next week's story is called You'll Never Escape. So, if you feel in a capturing mood, join us next Tuesday. Until then, good night. Pleasant dream.
Friends, you want to know how to make an ordinary meal into a feast? Start it right. Start it bright with tempting, heartwarming Lipton's noodle soup. Lipton's noodle soup is ready to serve in a jiffy, and what a treat it is. Lots of tender, golden noodles and a world of real chickeny flavor that makes it taste homemade. It's economical, too. Lipton's noodle soup mix costs less and makes lots more than canned soups. So try Lipton's noodle soup real soon. And don't forget to tune in next week at the same time for another Inner Sanctum mystery.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you for listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. Next week, we bring you some classic Halloween mysteries that are as frightening as your imagination can make them. I'm Justine Ward, your host, looking forward to sharing more classic radio entertainment with you. So long for now.